time now for the nationally syndicated radio show, The World of Lori Zook. And now, here she is, the smart, the sexy, the savvy, Divine Miss C.
And welcome to the show. Got a great show lined up today. I have with me in the studio Dr. Dan Maddock, chiropractor. He's been on my show before. And Ian Bizad, Florida attorney at law. And today we're going to talk about chiropractic and accidents and what happens in legal cases. So I'm going to give the little legal disclaimer here that the attorney is not giving legal advice. He's just going to give educational information for people that are listening. So thank you guys for joining me on the show today. Dr. Dan, I'm going to start with you, so we're going to jump right into it. Okay. When a patient comes into your office, what is the process?
Well, first of all, let me say thank you for having us on the show.
Very welcome.
When a patient comes to my office after they've been in an automobile accident, the first thing we do is, of course, fill out all of the accident report forms, state-required forms, case histories, and then we bring them into the office, into the exam room, and we do a physical examination. This is a combination of orthopedic and neurological checks, as well as systems review and vital signs, to make sure that their blood pressure is normal, their pulse is normal. We check, of course, to make sure if they're in my office, they're not there for stitches, they're not there for casts.
Right.
They've already been to the hospital, many of them, and been checked out to make sure that there's nothing there. Maybe they have their x-rays that they brought with them, and maybe they've been given some pain medications and muscle relaxers or anti-inflammatories. And so what we try to do is assess the damage that's been done. If it's a neck injury, cervical spine injury, we do range of motion. We do palpation, which is means we touch each of the segments, we touch each of the muscles, and we determine where the focal area of the pain is and therefore where the focal area of the injury is. Then we determine, vis-a-vis the x-rays, if they're in my office and they haven't been to the emergency room, we send them for x-rays. I don't do x-rays in my office because scanning centers in my area right near my office have $150,000 to $200,000 digital x-ray machines and a staff of radiologists who will read the films. I always like to have a radiologist read the films, even though I have 600 postgraduate hours in radiology, because they're complicated and I could miss things. These guys sit in a dark room all day long and read x-rays, so they send me a report. I sit down with the patient after they've had their x-rays, and I explain the examination, show them where on the x-rays the injury has taken place, and then I show them on their body where the injury has taken place, and then we develop a treatment plan, course of action, to make sure that we get the best result we can to restore their ability to move, reduce their pain, reduce their swelling, get them back to their activities of daily living, whether it's work, whether it's home, whether they're housekeepers, whatever. We find out what it is they're having trouble doing, and then we try and create exercises and treatment sequences that will help them get back to their life.
Okay, now since we have an attorney here, one of the things I want to bring up is you also document everything. I mean, if they're in an accident, it's very important, the documentation that you do as a doctor for, you know, if there's a potential legal case down the road, correct? So everything is thoroughly documented.
Sure.
Because it may be going to an attorney. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. Tell me a little bit about electronic health records.
What we do is everything is kept on paper. I keep a documentation of everything that I find on paper, hard copy, but we also make an electronic health record that is then able to be transferred to any other health agency, any other doctor that we refer them to, any other doctor that, or to their attorney or any other attorney that subpoenas the records. All of those records are kept not only on paper but electronically.
Okay. Now, when a patient comes to your office and they file their insurance, what happens?
In Florida, you have what's called PIP insurance, bodily injury. You get $2,500 of initial PIP coverage. We send you for a second opinion to another, either a nurse, osteopath, or medical doctor who evaluates you and states that you have reached the threshold for what we call emergency medical condition. And this is absolutely ridiculous because, number one, the statutes are very ambiguous as to what a medical emergency is. If it's anything that's going to affect your activities of daily living or your daily life, it's a medical emergency, whether it's a herniated disc or whether it's just a sprain and strain. However, that gives you access to an additional $7,500 worth of PIP coverage. Now, if you've been in an accident, you either come in with an attorney or you need me to refer you to an attorney. And I usually refer, I give them a choice of three attorneys who I've worked with because I don't want to be considered in collusion with any one individual. So I give them the names of three attorneys and they choose. Most of the attorneys don't charge them anything for an initial consultation, and most of them don't charge a fee to the patient unless there's a settlement. And that's what's called the tortfeasor. PIP insurance covers your initial $10,000, and then anything over and above that, whether it be my costs, radiology costs, referral costs to a neurologist or an orthopedist, all of those things are covered by the PIP, and then any overage is taken care of out of what's called the tortfeasor, which is the insurance of the individual who caused the accident. So if you're rear-ended by somebody, your insurance pays up to the first $10,000 at 80%. And then anything over and above that is handled by the attorney who represents you, who files the case against the insurance company, the person who hit you, who then, depending on how much insurance coverage they have, renders enough monies to cover your attorney fees, your medical fees, and obviously gives you something for your pain and suffering.
Gotcha. Now I'm going to ask you to define what is a copayment or coinsurance, because people seem to be confused with, a lot of times when they go to the doctor, what is it that they're paying?
Well, with personal injury care, usually if they have an attorney, they give us what's called a letter of protection, which means they don't have any coinsurance. They don't have any out-of-pocket expense. If you're a health insurance, if you're Blue Cross, if you're Humana, Cigna, Aetna, you may have a certain amount that they cover, and then you have 20, 30, 45. Usually United Healthcare is a $45 copay. Any of them have, I've got patients who have no copayment because they pay a very high premium for their insurance, or they have a higher coinsurance or copayment because they have paid, they've elected to opt for a lesser coverage, and sometimes they have to pay what's called the allowable rates up until they meet their deductible.
All right, well, let's talk about that. What does the term deductible mean?
Deductible means when you take out an insurance, you agree to pay everything up to a certain amount. Some people have a $1,000 deductible before their insurance kicks in coverage. Some have a $5,000. I had a policy a couple of years ago that I had a $6,000 deductible, which meant I had to reach $6,000 worth of medical coverage before they paid anything.
Well, that's probably under Obamacare, is my guess, right?
You don't even want to go there.
Yeah. That's a whole other topic. So if I come to your office as a new patient, you were kind of describing the process that I would go through. How many treatments or adjustments will I need?
That depends on the severity of your injury. Usually we start out after we've established a treatment process, depending on the severity of injury, if you're in a lot of pain and you're in a lot of discomfort, we may see you every day for a week, 2 weeks. And then as you start to improve, what we do is we have health questionnaires that are standard questionnaires of how bad is your pain, 0 to 10, which is 0 is no pain, 10 is you're soaking in a lake of fire being tortured by Satan and his evil minions. The worst possible pain you could imagine. And so we try and explain the pain scale to people, and each time they come in, they rate their pain. And as the pain frequency the pain intensity goes down, the frequency of visits decreases. So it may be daily for 2 weeks, then 3 times a week for a month, and then twice a week, and then once a week, and then once every 2 weeks. And we go that way. And what happens is you have to reach what's called maximum medical improvement, meaning you have to be treated until your pain is decreased as much as it's going to and all the tissues have been healed. And that's usually 5 to 6 months. So people that want to settle I want to settle my case right away. Well, it's only been 2 weeks.
you don't know how it really affected your life until later on, because it could be much later that it gets worse.
You have to allow time for the tissues to heal. Once you get to the point where the patient has plateaued, where they're not getting any better, maybe their pain started out at 7 or 8 on the 10 scale, and they were on medications, now they're off the medications, they're coming in less frequently, and their pain is down to a 1 or a 2, and it stays that way for 30 to 60 days, then we can state that they're at maximum medical improvement. Maximum benefit has reached from treatment, and anything after that is going to be considered palliative or supportive care.
Okay, very good. Well, don't go anywhere. We'll be back in just a moment on the world of Lori Zook.
Do you suffer from back, neck, or body pain? Do you suffer from migraines or have jaw or face pain? Has conventional medicine failed you? Were you injured or in an accident? Call chiropractic physician Dr. Dan Maddock at 813-935-1664. Dr. Dan has helped thousands of patients gain relief for more than 30 years. Dr. Dan is caring, gentle, and takes his time with each patient. He's also a past president of the International Craniopathic Society, a special certification of only 300 chiropractors worldwide. Dr. Dan helps patients from the neck up and the neck down. Dr. Dan accepts most insurance plans. Don't continue to live in pain. Call 813-935-1664. 1664 today. That's 813-935-1664, and get on track to better health.
Do you miss that old school sound that made radio great? Let me invite you to preview Philharmonic's Jack of All Trades at philharmonicblues.com, a collection of Americana blues available as a download for $7.99. You can sample each track on the album page and try before you buy. Philharmonic, Jack of All Trades at philharmonicblues.com. That's philharmonicblues.com.
Early in the evening, right on through the morning dew.
And we're back on the world of Lori Zook, and we're talking about chiropractic and accidents, so we're going to talk a little bit about legal issues regarding that. So, Dr. Dan Maddock, I want to come back to you. I'm going to assume that you obviously can't treat every condition and patient the same. It's based upon whatever is wrong with each individual patient, correct?
Yes.
Okay. What kind of conditions can be treated with chiropractic?
We treat a variety of conditions. I treat people with digestive problems, certainly sprain and strain, auto accident, slip and fall injuries, back sprain. We work on herniated discs. Studies have shown that if you go to a medical doctor first for back pain, your chances of having back surgery are 43%. If you see a chiropractor, your chances of having back surgery are 1.5%. So there's a drastic difference, and it's been suggested that before anyone can be seen by a medical doctor, they should be reviewed by a chiropractor. We treat a lot of conditions. I treat arthritis. I treat degenerative conditions. We have protocols for the elderly, certainly for the adolescent. We treat scoliosis patients, certainly the symptoms associated with scoliosis. Even if we can't straighten the scoliosis, sometimes that requires rods and screws and all kinds of surgical procedures, but we treat the symptoms associated with scoliosis. I treat headaches. I treat temporomandibular joint problems, jaw pain, ringing in the ears, dizziness. We have protocols, nutritional protocols, and soft tissue manipulations for liver, gallbladder, stomach, spleen, internal organ problems. And also, I treat a lot of infants. If you go to Dan Maddock or Dr. Dan Maddock or Maddock Chiropractic Clinic on Facebook, you can see videos of infants that we've adjusted. And also, God forbid I should say this, I'm also certified in veterinary chiropractic. So if it's canine, humine, feline, or equine, if it has a spine, I'll put it back in line and make it feel fine.
Okay, very good. I like that. Now, is there any risk of injury from chiropractic treatment?
Very, very small.
Okay, because, you know, you read these articles, and of course, I don't, you have to know what the source of the article is. So when people read stuff on Facebook, it can be pro something or anti something, and you don't necessarily know the truth. But I've read articles that state that in many cases, depending upon what the medical issue is, if that person would go to a chiropractor first, there's a higher chance of that problem being resolved versus going for surgery to a medical doctor. Is that correct?
Well, medical doctors are trained in pharmaceuticals. Pharmaceuticals, painkillers, muscle relaxers, anti-inflammatories are suppressants. They don't really fix the problem. They block the body from perceiving the problem. Short term, they're beneficial, at least in making the patient more comfortable. However, they block the pain, so the chances for injury is re-injuring an area because now you don't feel the pain is greater. Plus, you have the problem with sometimes there's infections that can take place when there's injections or certainly with surgery. I've had patients who have had to have second and third surgeries because of scar tissue formation. I had one patient who came in. She had an injection in the lower back, which I didn't find out until later. But she'd seen a medical doctor who gave her an injection in the back. Then she went to a chiropractor and still had the pain. Then she went to her medical doctor who gave her pain pills, muscle relaxers, and anti-inflammatories. And then she went to a massage therapist. The massage therapist says, you're 54 years old and you're using a walker. You need to see the chiropractor I work with down the street. So she came in. I looked at her and I treated her for a couple of days and I said, there's something else wrong. So I ordered an MRI and a CT scan of the pelvis since she'd already had x-rays and MRI of the lumbar spine, and that was okay. Didn't really show a problem. Radiologist calls me up and says, Dan, what are you looking for? Nobody ever runs those two tests together. I said, I don't know. Here's what I've got. He ran the test, called me back, found out that she had a bone infection, what's called osteomyelitis. I referred her back to her medical physician and informed her of the situation, and he didn't put her in the hospital till the next week. She ended up being in the hospital on antibiotic IV therapy for over a month, then on antibiotics orally after that for 6 months, ended up having to have heart surgery because the bacteria vegetated to her heart valves and ended up with liver problems. So now, because I found the problem, I'm being called as a witness for the plaintiff against the other doctors who didn't find the problem or didn't treat it properly.
It's got to be hard being so smart because, I mean, it seems like you're able to, from stories you've told me, you're able sometimes to find these things that these medical doctors have missed. But the other thing that concerns me is people go in for that instantaneous rush to a medical doctor. Medical doctors know that when you're coming for a regular visit, they actually feel pressured to give out prescriptions. And I've talked to a lot of doctors. People come, you pay your little copay, you don't feel well. Well, I'll just write out these drugs for you. Then I hear the drug commercials on television, you know, they're all so happy, it's some happy scene. And meantime, underneath, they're talking faster than I am about how it could be fatal, you know, you have all these symptoms and you're going to die. So while they're showing you the happy commercial, underneath, they're doing all this little you're going to die type stuff. And I go, what are people thinking? So I don't know. It just seems to me that people should be looking at a natural way to try to make something, you know, to solve a problem medically before they go to the medical doctor. And on that note, do you treat patients that have cancer?
I treat patients that have cancer. I don't treat patients for cancer.
Good answer. Okay. Now, if someone's injured in an accident, obviously they can come to your office. But if they tell you that the accident is not, you know, if it's not their fault, whether it is their fault or not, you said you can give them the rule of three. You can refer them to an attorney. Can you explain a little bit before we talk to the attorney, what is PIP insurance from a doctor's perspective?
PIP insurance is the insurance that you pay for through your insurance policy. You have, if you read your policy, you have bodily injury coverage, which is for you to cover if you cause someone else an injury. Personal injury insurance is what you pay for to protect yourself, okay? And in Florida, you're, like I said, you have $2,500. Unless you're declared a medical emergency, then you have the full access to $10,000. Over and above that, you have your attorney who files suit against the person who hits you, but you have to have a statement by a physician that you have been permanently injured, which means that at the end of the 6 months treatment, you still have pain, you may have a herniated disc, you may have a torn ligament that's not going to heal because ligaments heal with scar tissue. They don't heal with tissue. We're not frogs and we're not lizards. We don't replace, we repair. And so, or we don't repair, we replace. And so we replace the normal tissue with the scar tissue, which is not as strong and not as resilient as normal healthy tissue.
Okay, how is an emergency medical condition defined?
It's very ambiguous. It's anything that affects your activities of daily living, causes you pain, and it can be written on a napkin. I always send them to a qualified nurse practitioner or to a medical doctor who examines them and gives them a good evaluation. But in fact, there's no parameters for it. It's just something that the government, or actually Governor Scott, decided, since he's in the pocket of the insurance companies, they're his big contributors, he would give them something so that they could just put one more block in front of you to be able to get your coverage.
Yeah, that concerns me. The way health insurance works nowadays, you know, that's why I think documentation is so important. But even if you have the documentation and you're the patient, I can tell you that I've had situations where I've been denied for things that have been medically necessary. But unlike most people, I'm a fighter and probably a screamer, and I go back and I try to appeal everything with all those documents. And I think the insurance companies expect that most people won't do what I do. They're not going to put up a fight, and therefore they're just going to pay out that money, or it's going to end up in collections. So I find it disconcerting. Now, as far as recovery times from an injury, I'm assuming it's different based upon whatever their individual situation is, correct?
Yes.
Okay. How about the patients, their bills being covered? And we're going to talk with the attorney, I think, a little bit more about that. But from the medical perspective with you, if the accident wasn't their fault, generally, they're going to have to go to court when it comes to all these medical things. So here's what I want to ask you. If the insurance doesn't cover, the insurance that they're entitled to, quote, doesn't cover everything, and then you have to get a letter of protection to be protected by the attorney. Now, let's say the attorney wins for their client maybe a $50,000 amount of money. The attorney generally gets a portion of that money. How does the doctor end up with any amount of money that actually covers their the amount that, you know, they don't make any money, it seems, in a lot of cases. Do you understand what I'm driving at?
I do.
Okay.
And usually what happens is that, you know, once the PIP coverage is exhausted, then the outstanding bills go to the tortfeasor. So that the PIP is apportioned depending on who sends in the bills. If they go to a emergency room, they're going to run the bill up, use up to $10,000 almost immediately, which means that any amount that's paid to the doctors afterwards is going to come out of the final settlement from the person who hit them.
So does that mean that the doctor then doesn't get paid any money, and it could be a year or two before the doctor sees any money?
Well, here's what happens is the attorney files suit against the person who hit them, names them and their insurance, and I'm sure that Ian can explain this in more detail. So what happens is, for instance, I just had one case where we haven't been paid. My outstanding bill is $10,000. The attorney and the patient decided to reject an offer of $395,000 and elected to go to court. When they went to court, which is a jury trial, they were awarded $192,000. Well, my bill is $10,000. The surgeon's bill that did the surgery on him is $122,000, which means if they pay me, there's no money for the patient, there's no money for the attorney, and so they're wanting me to take, you know, like 10 cents on the dollar to settle the case, and then they find out that because they went to court, the attorneys for the other side are now coming back and demanding $55,000 for their court costs. And so by the time it all settles out, there's going to be nothing for anybody.
So in essence, you treated this patient and paid for their privilege of treating the patient, which I
precisely.
Think is, that's common, and I don't think that's right. What is maximum medical improvement, MMI? What does that mean?
It's where you are to the point of not getting any better. As I said earlier, they rate their pain. We do the examinations every 30 days. And at the end of that time, when they're not showing any significant improvements, then we can say they are at maximum medical improvement. Now, you can be at maximum medical improvement and be 100% well. No more pain, no more restricted motion, no herniated discs, no problems, in which case there is probably not going to be much of a settlement. However, if there's a herniated disc, if there's torn ligaments, if there's pre-existing arthritis that was asymptomatic beforehand, and they're still having pain, maybe they started out at 7-8 pain and now they're down to a 2-3-4, and it's 6 months, which means all of the tissues have healed, they've had all the surgery they're going to have, they've had all the chiropractic, and nothing's, they're still having problems, that's maximum medical improvement.
Okay.
That's permanent injury.
Got it. All right. Well, I want you to stay. Oh, by the way, I want to mention you actually recently won the 2015 Chiropractor of the Year Award.
Yes.
So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the legal end of things with Florida attorney Ian Bizad. Hopefully I said his name right there. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back in just a moment.
Central Payment, your number one credit card merchant service provider in the industry. Providing e-commerce solutions, POS systems, standalone terminals, mobile apps, and much more, call Central Payment's James Carner at 813-777-4332. Looking for the lowest rates in the industry and number one customer service? Call Central Payment's James Carner at 813-777-4332. That's James Carner, 813-777-4332. 332.
Do you suffer from back, neck, or body pain? Do you suffer from migraines or have jaw or face pain? Has conventional medicine failed you? Were you injured or in an accident? call chiropractic physician Dr. Dan Maddock at 813-935-1664. Dr. Dan has helped thousands of patients gain relief for more than 30 years. Dr. Dan is caring, gentle, and takes his time with each patient. He's also a past president of the International Craniopathic Society, a special certification of only 300 chiropractors worldwide. Dr. Dan helps patients from the neck up and the neck down. Dr. Dan accepts most insurance plans. Don't continue to live in pain. Call 813-935-1664 today. That's 813-935-1664, and get on track to better health.
Are you looking for an affordable way to advertise to thousands of consumers nationally? If you own a business and didn't think you could afford radio advertising, you need to call me, Lori Zook, host of the nationally syndicated radio show, The World of Lori Zook. My show reaches thousands of people on 29 AM and FM stations nationwide, as well as through the internet. Additionally, your commercials will also be heard on all of my podcasts and throughout social media sites. Don't wait another minute. Call me at 813-777-4908. 813-777-4908, and let me bring your message to the nation and to help you gain more exposure. Welcome back to the World of Lori Zook, where we've been talking about chiropractic, and we're going to talk a little bit here about the law in personal injury. So I have with me Florida attorney Ian Bizzard. I got to practice saying your name, last name, Ian. Personal injury, thank you for joining me today. And if you can tell me a little bit about your education, your experience, where you practice.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me, Lori. I'm glad to be here today. A little bit about myself. I was born and raised in upstate New York and have a undergraduate degree in finance from Lehigh University with honors, and came down to Florida because New York was too cold and Pennsylvania was too cold, and Atlanta, where I worked after undergraduate degree, was too cold. So I ended up down here in Florida and graduated magna cum laude from Florida State University Law School, where I was on the law review and earned partial scholarships and all that stuff, which sounds really good if you're talking in academic circles, but doesn't really mean a whole hill of beans if you just got injured in a car accident.
Well, I want to talk about that, because let's say I'm in a car accident. What is the first thing that I should do?
Well, under the law, the first thing you should do is call the police. And actually, you're required to call the police if you have more than $500 in property damage or if anyone's been hurt. So if you're in an accident and someone says, well, let's not call the police, let's not call our insurance, let's just try to handle this on our own, you actually have to call the police if there's more than $500 in property damage.
Okay. Now, if it happened to me, and I've actually been in accidents long, long time ago, so my next question to you is, who should I call first, my insurance, a doctor, or you? And I'm sure there are a lot of people that they watch the commercials on TV, call your lawyer first, but I'm thinking you should probably call 911 and get in an ambulance and get to the hospital.
Exactly.
Right? Common sense?
Exactly. And if you can't, if you are able to at the scene, you should take pictures. I have clients come to me all the time, and the first thing I ask them is, do you have any pictures of the scene? And if they do, it's a real close-up picture of the scene. I never get a client who took pictures from far back or actually took a video of the light cycle. If it's an accident in an intersection, no clients that take pictures where I can see what the weather's like or how many lanes there are. If client shows up with pictures, it's always because they took a real close-up picture at the scene.
You know, well, one of the things is sometimes you're in shock when you're in an accident, so you're not thinking clearly. You know, if you're under normal circumstances, if you saw somebody else within having an accident, you might get out and take pictures. But when you're the one in it, people might be in shock depending upon how bad it is.
Well, I wouldn't expect them to know what to do after an accident. It's not like people get into accidents all the time. You only would know something like that if you've been doing it for years and say, hey, this is what would be helpful to me. What would be helpful to me are more pictures. I've never gotten a picture of the other driver. I've never had a client take a picture of the other driver's face.
When the police come, do they ever take pictures that you can use, or no one's really thinking about it at that point?
The police only take pictures in a death scene. And actually, Florida law allows you to demand the other driver's license. So you can actually demand the other driver's driver's license and take a picture of it. People don't know that, so they don't do it. So I never get that.
Right. Do you think, though, that the person you're demanding it of is necessarily going to do it, or they're going to probably refuse? But you know what? You could take a picture of their plates
right
from their car.
If the police don't come, you are allowed and you are required, if you're in an accident in Florida, and again, all this applies to Florida, but the law says that you are required to provide the other driver your name, your address, and your registration number, and if they ask for it, your driver's license.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, how does a person know if they should go to the hospital? And I'm asking that for a specific reason, because some people might know right away, you know, I'm injured, I feel pain. But sometimes, in a case using myself as an example, sometimes it gets worse later down the road. And isn't it true? Don't you have a certain amount of days to get medical care? Otherwise, it becomes difficult for you as an attorney to pursue it?
Well, boy, I get this question a lot, and it's a tough question for me to answer, first of all, because I'm not a doctor. So right. I can't give anyone medical advice, and people call me after the accident and say, should I go to the hospital? And my answer is always, if you feel like you need medical attention, go get medical attention, whether that's at a hospital or at a doctor right away. But I can't give medical advice. I can only tell you what happens down the road, how to try to pay for that hospital treatment, when a hospital bill can be thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars that people might not be able to afford.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, somebody's been in an accident. One of our listeners has been in an accident. What's the first step in hiring an attorney to represent them?
Well, after you leave the accident scene, whether you've gone to the hospital or not, you need to start thinking about your insurance policy. And most people have never read that little booklet that comes, or now I guess you can get it online. I've spoken with very few people who've actually ever read their insurance policy. I can assure you I've read a lot of them. And one of the first pages that your insurance policy tells you to do is you got to call them within 24 hours or within a short period of time after the accident. And the question is, do you want to do that before you talk to someone about your legal rights? And you're certainly entitled to call your insurance company. And you're required to call your own insurance company. And you might hear advertisements from attorneys that say, never talk to an insurance company until you talk to us. Well, they don't also tell you that you better talk to us right away or call your insurance company. And the reason insurance companies do that is because they don't want to get prejudiced. If you don't notify them of the accident, they can't take steps to protect themselves. And you can assure yourself that that's exactly what the insurance company is going to do, is protect itself. So should they hire... call an attorney first after the accident? Well, I'm an attorney, so that's like asking your
right.
barber, do I need a haircut?
Right. You need them to protect, they need an attorney to protect their legal rights. What happens to people that maybe didn't hire an attorney initially, talk to their insurance company first? Of course, that call is being recorded, so anything that they say in that conversation can be used against them. And now they decide, you know, maybe I am hurt more than I thought, and I do need an attorney. Have they lost some of their rights by doing that?
There's always the cat out of the bag problem, and you just don't know how big the cat is that got out of the bag. If it's a small cat that got out of the bag that's not going to do any danger, talking to your own insurance company might not be a problem, but it might be down the road. It would just depend on the circumstance. And so do you want to give a recorded statement to your insurance company right away? When you first notify them, it's recorded. So if I notify the insurance company for you, then it's not your statement being recorded. Mm-hmm. People also don't know when they talk to insurance companies that human beings are horrible guessers, especially at time, speeds, and distances.
Okay.
So someone will say, well, that, you know, I was stopped at the light for 3 minutes, or, you know, I had my foot on the brake for 10 seconds before I hit the car in front of me, or the car in front of me hit me. I was stopped for 3 minutes. People are terrible guessers and they exaggerate, and those types of things can come back and hurt you.
Sounds like it. So that's why you would always want to protect yourself, to get yourself an attorney first, and then the attorney calls the insurance company.
I can do that. I report accidents for clients all the time, and it makes it easier for the client. It allows me to control what information is provided to the insurance company while providing the information that I know we're required to provide them.
I would think it would make it easier for the client too, just in being able to relax about it, not have to worry so much about everything down the road once they do have representation.
Exactly. If they call me early on, I can help them with their property damage claim, and I do that for free. And a lot of personal injury attorneys won't do that because frankly, you can't get paid doing that. And so they don't want to handle it. I go to body shops or talk to insurance companies about property damage claims, and they look at me like, what are you doing here? Because not a lot, a whole lot of attorneys will help a client with a property damage claim with their car because they don't get paid off it.
No, but you do that. So that's sort of going the extra mile for your clients. I think that's awesome. Why do these other attorneys, they're doing it because obviously they don't get paid is what you're saying. So they're not really. So when I think of personal injury, you know, you have those attorneys that you see on TV, you know, and sometimes I look at and go, are people stupid that they would hire some of these, you know, not all of them, but some of them, their commercials, I look at and go, only a stupid person would hire this attorney. Because I don't know how to describe it. It's almost like a bunch of clowns on TV saying, we're going to win your case and we're not going to charge you anything to do it. But in reality, they don't know. They don't always win. They're more of what I call, it's like a cattle call. They want to just shove everybody in there and whatever ones get some money, so what on the other, you know, on the other people that didn't win. And so I find that upsetting. You know, but whereas a practitioner like yourself, you're saying, yes, I go the extra mile. I'm actually trying to help my client. I think that makes a whole world of, you know, whole world of difference. So somebody's in an accident. They go and they hire an attorney. They find an attorney, and hopefully they'll do due diligence on finding that attorney. How do you get paid? How does an attorney get paid on personal injury cases?
Well, let's start back a little bit.
Okay.
to when they hire me, and I go and meet with them. And you'll find that a lot of attorneys that you might hire, the first person you meet is not an attorney. The first person you meet is actually a paralegal or an investigator. I'm, in fact, the first person that you meet when I come to your house or you come to my office. And most of the time, I go to clients' house. It's just easier for them. And I'll sit down, and we'll talk about the contract. And if they meet with me, they can actually ask me questions rather than ask an investigator questions. And there's nothing wrong with an investigator. There's nothing wrong with paralegals, but they're not attorneys. And so when they sit and meet with me, I can explain to them that, number one, I'll help them with their property damage claim, and I'll do it for free. I won't charge them. For example, most people don't know that if your car is a total loss, there's a report that insurance companies have, and they won't give it to you unless you ask for it. So I'll tell them that, and then I'll explain my fee with regard to their injury claim, which is a percentage of the recovery, which means if we don't make a recovery for the client never pays me. And I shake their hand, and I walk away, and I say, hey, things didn't work out here. We found out some facts that we didn't know, or the law makes it so that there is no recovery possible. And I shake their hand and walk away, and then they don't owe me anything. And it was part of me helping them, and it's part of the business.
Gotcha. Okay. How would you define PIP?
Well, PIP is Florida's no-fault system. There's several states, and Florida entered the no-fault system in 1972. And what no-fault means, it doesn't mean that no one's at fault for the accident, because obviously in every accident, someone's at fault. What it means is that no matter who is at fault, your own insurance company, your own auto insurance company, pays for your medical bills. And the way it came into being in 1972 was the insurance companies, who are out there to make a profit. And if you Google the insurance companies, you can find out their profits and how much they make. And don't kid yourself, they're in this to make a profit. And in 1972, they said, let's find a way to get rid of attorneys. And so one way to do that is to turn Florida into a no-fault system, meaning that we don't have to get attorneys involved, meaning that no matter who's at fault, you pay. So in big insurance company A and big insurance company B, instead of fighting over who pays, now A pays for their people and B pays for their people, and we can stop fighting about this, and it'll all even out in the end, because if there were two insurance companies, statistics would say they were each at fault half the time. So you pay for your own insurance, and it pays 80% of your medical bills, like Dr. Dan was saying. And the other 20% is from secondary insurance or from a third-party claim. So your no-fault insurance is primary, and then if you have health insurance or Medicare, that would be secondary and could cover your co-pays or a third-party claim.
Okay, gotcha. Now, can you also define for me, what is a tort?
Well, a tort.
I like that word, tort.
A tort's a big fancy word for someone did you wrong. And there's a way to make a recovery on a legal basis. The two main types of torts are intentional torts, meaning that I hurt someone intentionally, for example, an assault or a battery where I punched someone, or a negligent tort, meaning where I did something wrong, but I didn't mean to do it. And car accidents, the 99.9% of them are intentional torts, where people are driving along and they're being not as safe as they should be, whether they're on their phone or they're listening to the radio or
texting.
They're doing some texting, and they're doing something wrong and they run into someone by accident. But it's still a tort because it's negligence, because you have a duty to, when you're driving, be careful, and you didn't do that.
Gotcha. Don't go anywhere, Ian. We're going to come back in just a moment on The World of Lori Zook. Stay with us. Are you looking for an affordable way to advertise to thousands of consumers nationally? If you own a business and didn't think you could afford radio advertising, you need to call me, Lori Zook, host of the nationally syndicated radio show, The World of Lori Zook. My show reaches thousands of people on 29 AM and FM stations nationwide, as well as through the internet. Additionally, your commercials will also be heard on all of my podcasts and throughout social media sites. Don't wait another minute. Call me at 813-777-4908, 813-777-4908, and let me bring your message to the nation and to help you gain more exposure.
Do you miss that old school sound that made radio great? Let me invite you to preview Philharmonic's Jack of All Trades at philharmonicblues.com. A collection of Americana blues available as a download for $7.99. You can sample each track on the album page and try before you buy. Philharmonic, Jack of All Trades at philharmonicblues.com. That's philharmonicblues.com.
Early in the evening, right on through the morning dew.
Central Payment, your number one credit card merchant service provider in the industry. Providing e-commerce solutions, POS systems, standalone terminals, mobile apps, and much more, call Central Payment's James Carner at 813-777-4332. Looking for the lowest rates in the industry and number one customer service? Call Central Payment's James Carner at 813-777-4332. That's James Carner, 813-777-4332.
332. And welcome back to The World of Lori Zook. I've been speaking with Ian Bizad, and we're talking about chiropractic and medical and personal injury law. So, Ian, I want to, you know, we talked a little bit about the advantages of hiring an attorney. I don't know if you have anything you want to add to that. But, you know, sometimes people think they can just go ahead and negotiate with the insurance company themselves. And I'm thinking, danger, danger, right?
Danger, danger. I've been down this road before. 16 years in practice. I've seen the answers to questions that clients don't even know they have. If you go back to that, taking pictures at the scene. People think they can handle it themselves, and yet no one would think to take those types of pictures. People think they can handle it themselves, and yet they've never read their insurance policy. You know, if you talk to a person about when they break their tooth, would they go to the dentist or would they grab a pliers and pull it out themselves? And people think, well, you're silly. Of course I'd go to the dentist, but I can handle my car accident case on my own. Mm-hmm. Even though I've never read an insurance policy, I've never read the Florida statutes regarding
the civil procedure laws, right?
And they forget that their insurance companies are out there to make a profit.
That's exactly it. And the other thing is, you know, as a lawyer, you must have to look up case law, and a regular person has no idea. You know, you might not find it online. You might have to go to a law library. But I would never think of representing myself on anything other than small claims court. You know, that has the $5,000 limit. Okay, but on something big like medical, in essence, they're shooting themselves in the foot.
Well, you don't know if you're shooting yourself in the foot. And the problem is you might not know that you're about to shoot yourself in the foot until it's too late and you already got a big hole in your foot. For example, in an uninsured motorist claim, if a third-party at-fault carrier offers to pay the limits of their policy and you accept that without getting permission from your uninsured motorist coverage, well, you've closed the door in your uninsured motorist coverage without even knowing you were doing it. And then if you come to me down the road, I can't fix
undo
that.
It, right? Yeah, you can't undo it.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Okay. So when I'm in an accident, who pays my doctor and my hospital bills? My insurance up to a point we talked about.
Let's assume you have no-fault insurance.
Okay.
So your auto insurance pays the first 80% of your medical bills. If you go to a hospital, so to speak, then your PIP will pay the 80% of your medical bills. And then if you have health insurance, they might cover the remainder of it, but they'll have a lien against your settlement. If you have Medicare, they may pay a portion of it, but they'll have a lien against your settlement. And again, this is another reason that you might want to hire an attorney. Because if you go ahead and you settle your case without paying Medicare back or without paying your health insurance back, they could cancel your benefits. And people don't know that.
Gotcha. Now, we've only got a couple minutes before we end the show. So I know that sometimes out-of-court settlements are possible, but sometimes cases do go to trial.
Well, they go to trial if they have to go to trial, in my opinion. If they go to trial, you're putting your fate in the hands of six people whose qualification is that they have a Florida driver's license. Trials are great for attorneys because I get more than one bite at the apple.
Gotcha.
For clients, you only get one bite at the apple. Do you want to put your hands, your life in the hands of six people that whose main qualification is they have a Florida driver's license?
Okay, that's a scary thought. To settle a case can be months, years?
Anywhere from weeks to years. And every case is different. It takes, like doctor said, 3 to 6 months to get to maximum medical improvement. And then the client gets to decide whether they want to settle or go to court. And from that point, whether they want to settle or go to trial.
Great. Well, you've given us a lot of great information. If somebody wants to contact you, Ian, how can they get a hold of you?
The best way to get a hold of me is to call me or text me. I've given my cell phone number out since 2004, and that number is 813-215-8817.
Gotcha. And Dr. Dan Maddock, how can people reach you if they want to talk to you?
They can reach me at my office number, which is 813-935-1664. They can email me at drdanmadock@hotmail.com. They can call me on my cell phone, which is 813-310-0840.
Great. Thank you guys very much for joining me, and tune in again next week on The World of Lori Zook.